Accession number 31448, Mr. Roy Jones, reel 14. Now, what happened then? So you went in for repairs. Was that when you went home then?
Yes. I think what happened then was we left the coast of Korea and we sailed for Hong Kong for repairs. But we must have gone back up to the coast after that, although it's not here. We must have gone back up to the west coast of Korea after that, because I think it was HMS Birmingham relieved us on patrol for us to come home.
So when did you come home then?
We arrived in Chatham, I think it was October.
52.
I'm almost sure it was.
Now tell us about anything that happened on the journey back.
Home. Personally, one thing, I was getting married when I came home, and the wedding was arranged for the 6th of December 52, and unknown to me, I had to go and see the padre on board the ship, and unknown to me, which was very, it was funny really, that the bands, our bands of marriage, were read on the same Sundays. Mine were read on the Belfast, and hers were read in the church up here on the same Sundays. Now, how that happened, I don't know, but that's how it was. And coming home, it was a great feeling, really. When the Birmingham relieved us, as soon as she relieved us and we started to sail, up went the paying off pennant.
Can you explain what one of those is?
It's a long white flag with a small red cross near the mast, and it stretches from the forward mast right to the back end of the ship. Very thin it is. It's what they call the paying off pennant. And that was it then. We
anything happened on the way back?
No.
So tell me about when you arrived at Chatham.
Right, we arrived at Chatham, and the Royal Marines were, and the band were on the quarter deck. Band was playing. And there wasn't a soul at Chatham. See the ship come in. Only one person stood on the jetty. Sir Aubrey St. Clair Ford. He was on the jetty, and one of the matlows on the quarter deck just shouted, "There's Aubrey." And they all broke ranks. And were waving, you know. And this matlow threw the line. And there he was. He took it and pulled the first line in, on which I thought was absolutely wonderful.
Now, so what happened? Was there any customs to go through? Because customs can be...
Well, what customs did was, when we anchored out at Chatham somewhere, they come out to the ship. And I swear that they must say, right, there's a Belfast just come in. We want so much off air. I'm sure this is what they do. Yeah. So anyway, they came aboard and we had to go to the officers first. They were in the cinema, they were, the customs. And they had the officers in first and then us in after. And they give us a form to fill in, a green form of what we had. Then we went up one at a time and they want to know how much we paid for this and how much we paid for that. But in the main, it was all right. I didn't have to pay anything. So we're all right, that was it. And once we got in, Aubrey took the first line, as I said before. And he came on board. And that was it.
Now, you left the ship?
Didn't leave the ship till a couple. It was Port Watch went on first leave, and I think we had about 4 or 5 weeks leave, or maybe longer. Yeah, it was longer.
So you'd get married in that time, would you?
I got married on the 6th of December, yeah. And I was home. Yeah, it was late November when we actually got home to here, you know.
So
we faffed around on board the ship, everything was done. And I came home, I can't remember the exact date in November, it was late November, because I was on leave then till January, there, about the 8th of January. So I got married on December the 6th. And went back to the Belfast sometime late January or mid-January. And paid off, I come off of then. And went to...
In January or in February?
Yeah, I'll give you the exact date. Exact date, Belfast. 18th of January.
And were you sorry to leave the ship?
Sorry. No, not really, no. I was sorry to... leave me mates that I'd made, because I didn't. Funnily enough, two of them stayed on her for about 3 months while she was in mothballs. I came off.
Got so where'd married. You go to?
I went back to the Gundry School.
Were you doing a course?
Wait a minute. July. Yeah, I went to the Gundry School.
Doing a course?
Yeah. I did the... GL2 course.
What's GL2? Gun Layer 2?
Gun Layer 2.
And how long were you doing that for? January to...
It's got July 53 here. It wasn't doing it all that time. January. No, it wasn't all that time. I did the Gundry course.
Anything new in it? Or was it...
No, it was just an
extension. Was it still anti-aircraft gunnery? Or?
Yeah, it's still the same, yeah, but it's a higher qualification, that's all. Went from third class to second class, 71%. Then I was in barracks then, that's from January 53, I did that course, and I was in barracks.
At Eastney Barracks?
At Eastney Barracks, yeah. And then I got commissioned a warrior on the 7th of October 53, so I hadn't been off the Belfast 12 months, had I? I'd only been off the Belfast 10 months. No, not 10 months. 9 months, and then a commissioned warrior.
Now, what sort of ship was a warrior? I'm not familiar with a warrior.
Aircraft carrier.
What was she like? Can you describe her? Or give us an idea of what she was like for you, who'd never been on a...
It looked... When we joined her at Plymouth. And when we first went aboard, I remember I was standing on the gangway waiting to go on with the rest of the detachment, and the ship was snooing with dockyard mateys. She was having a refit of some description, and it's quite big aircraft carrier. I think it was bigger than the Belfast, and it was all right. The mess deck was a lot bigger, from what I can recall. Hell of a lot bigger than the one on the Belfast.
It had more personal space then.
Yeah. And by then I'd had my second good conduct badge. I was a two-badge Marine by then.
Now, what about promotion? Because you're still only a
Marine, yeah.
A private.
Marine, yeah.
So what was your attitude to promotion at this time?
Well, by then, 53, I only had 2 years left to do. And I knew I wouldn't be staying in.
Why?
Because I'd only just got married. And the wife fell pregnant pretty quick. I mean, when did I go on board there? I got married in December. I went on board the Warrior on the 7th of October, and my daughter was born on the 24th. So, you know... she was born, what, 10, 11 months after we were married. So I knew then, because, see, your wife couldn't go with you as much when you were at sea, obviously. But if you'd have been with the commando brigade, you could take your wife with you. Although, obviously, if you, they were all, the, most of the wives in them days were in Malta while the brigade was flitting from here to there. So I knew I wouldn't be staying in. So,
why didn't you have was promotion slow in the Royal Marines?
You wouldn't expect in the Royal Marines once you joined to reach even a corporal much after 4/5 years.
And if you were leaving, you wouldn't.
Well, they wouldn't have wasted the time. Although I had the offer, I'm going to come up to that now. As I say, we joined the Warrior. Captain Marines on the Warrior, when they sent for me, and I suppose being a two badge Marine, you looked on it. I know when I joined, if a two badge Marine, there was always a two badge Marine in the barrack room, and he was God, you know, because you stood to attention to a two badge Marine when I went in. So as I say, there was myself and one other two badge Marine on the Warrior. And I was sent for, and the Cap Marine said to me, right, he must have had my service certificate there. And he said, let me put your name down for a candidate for promotion now, and you leave this office with two stripes on your arm. I said, no, sir, I don't want it. So he said, right, what are we going to do with you then? He said,
hang on, why didn't you want it then?
Well, I didn't want an acting rank. And I'd have been an acting rank all the time I was on the Warrior. Now, when I come off the Warrior, if that had been 18 months later, it would only be possibly 6 months or less before it was coming out. Now, I'd have come off the Warrior, I'd have had to take the stripes down, right? Which I didn't like the idea of. I spoilt myself, if you like, by making a pact with a mate, saying we wouldn't go for a promotion and we wouldn't take an acting rank. I don't know why, probably stupid. Because I think if I had done, because once we parted, He took the promotion course, and he was made corporal. He finished corporal, I think, about 2 years or so before we finished, or might be 3 years before we finished. And I didn't, purely my own fault. But anyway, I turned that down, and he said to me, right, have you ever driven a motorboat? And I hadn't. But I said yes, because I thought, hello, he must be after a coxswain, which is a cushy number. So I said yes. So I got the job then as coxswain of one of the motorboats. And that was my job from the day I joined until the day I left. Coxswain of a 35 twin screw motorboat. And it was very easy, really. I was lucky in as much that one of me crew, another Marine, he'd driven one before. So he more or less showed me a few. But didn't.
How big was it?
35 foot long. Twin screw. But they're easy to drive. It's 1 forward gear, 1 reverse gear. That's all it is. It's stick going forward, stick going back. Throttle, you know, it's the part you've got to learn most is coming alongside, you know, coming alongside the ship if there's a bit of a swell on or anything like that, you know.
Did you get the hang of it fairly quickly?
Yeah, didn't bother me. I was
now,
fine.
What was the motorboat for?
Mainly for taking officers ashore if you were anchored out. Take officers ashore and or bringing people off from ashore to the ship, any visitors or people to see the captain or whatever. It's only while you're in harbour all this went on. But one of the best parts was when we were in Hong Kong, we're going to what a place called Stonecutters Island.
Now, hang on, we haven't got to Hong Kong
no,
yet.
No, all right, then.
So you join it. Now, what happens next, then? Where's the ship going? It's going to Hong Kong.
It's going out to Korea again.
Do you remember anything about the voyage out?
No, just flying trials. But the two squadrons, I think it was 825 and...
Doesn't matter. There's no point looking things up.
No, there's two squadrons, Sea Furies and Fireflies. 825 was one. I can't remember the number of the other squadron. We took them on, and they were doing flying trials. I don't know whether it was at Yeovilton or some place like that, where they had a moving deck at some fleet air arm station. So they were practicing there, and then they joined the ship. And we went out for flying trials off Plymouth. And the skipper wasn't happy with them because they were missing the arrestor wires and everything coming back. So he sent the two squadrons back off the ship, back to the Fleet Air Arm Base for more training for them. And then they joined the ship and we went out for more flying trials before we left English waters. And they were all right after that. And it was just a run out to the normal way on Malta, Gibraltar, through the Suez, Singapore, Hong Kong, and then up to the coast of Korea again. And the two squadrons flew a few sorties there because it wasn't quite over, but it was almost over then. Anyway, because we're talking about 1953 now, which was pretty late on. It was October 53 when I joined her, so it was pretty well, you know, petering out then, the war in Korea. So they flew a few sorties there.
Remember anything about them when they flew off?
Only we lost a couple. I saw one as he came back to the ship. He ditched in the water and they never got him out. He went with the plane down. Other than that, nothing, because if you're an aircraft carrier, there's no bombarding or anything like that, because you only have light aircraft stuff, and none of that was ever used.
Did you have an action station? I know you were on the motorboat, but
I had an action station on the Beaufort, on the same as I had on the Belfast.
And did that involve anything, or
no? Nothing at all. Very uneventful, the Warrior. Very uneventful. As I say, the war there was practically finished in Korea then. So it was just the odd patrol in harbour and the two squadrons flying a couple of sorties. But other than that, there was very, very little. Very little.
And what do you remember about the Warrior then? Or is it that it? You know,
very little for the Warrior at all. Nothing. There was nothing really.
So what happened next then? Coming back? When did you come back?
Come back home. We came back via South Africa, and which had never ever been to. And we called it Cape Town. Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, East London, Simonstown. And in Simonstown, I got offered a job for 18 months. Coxswain at the naval, CNC's coxswain at the naval doings in Simonstown. So I got in touch with the wife. Of course, she could have come out then, but she wouldn't. So I never took it.
Were you disappointed?
In a way, yeah, because it would have been nicer for her than for me, really. It would have been a nice holiday for her, but I could understand it because the baby would only be, what, 12 months old, so.
So when did you get back?
We got back in June 55.
55?
Yeah.
So you were out there a year and a half?
Yeah, 18 months, yeah. Now, incidentally, that, see, when I came home off the Belfast, I didn't expect another ship so quick. And I got one within 8 months. And when I come home and told her, she said, well, what is it? I said, it's home fleet. So I'll be all right. I said, I'll be home every leave, the home fleet. Little did I know.
The Warrior was
home fleet. Little did I know they'd change the routine for home fleet ships. It was 18 months foreign and 6 months home waters. And the 18-month foreign happened to be the Far East again. And she swore me blind that I'd volunteered for this. But I hadn't. And that's the gospel truth. It was just one of them things. And I came home. And left the Warrior in June 55, and I went to, they ask you then, when you've only got next to know, where would you like to go? So I asked for the RMFVR Merseyside.
At the what?
The Royal Marine Volunteer Reserve at Merseyside. But to go there as a Marine, have a job there. And I could have lived at home then for the last 6 months. Anyway, there was nothing going there, so I asked for Chatham.
Royal Marine.
So they sent me to the pay and records office at Melville Barracks in Chatham. Pay and records office, Royal Marines. And I was there from the 4th of June to the 15th of October when I got demobbed.
Now, what were you doing there?
I was on the police on the gate there, and I played cricket for the Royal Navy there.
Now, we'll do the gate. What was it like on the gate?
It was just like a police on the gate. You wore NP on your gate, on your arm. Well, you were in your blues and your white gear and all that. But it was just like police on the gate, and that was it. And that's all we did. That was like an 8 to 5, or something like that. Eight till five, that's right. And then the guard took over then of a night.
Now, what about playing cricket for the Navy? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I played, first time I ever played cricket for the Navy was when I was on the, let me think, was it the Belfast or the Warrior? Played in Hong Kong.
What do you remember about it?
Only played twice. Once there and once in Chatham. What I think had happened, I played football on the Belfast. Wait a minute, I can't think where's the Warrior or the Belfast. But whichever it was, one of the officers had seen me bowling when we used to play interdepartmental, you know, and I was quite good at bowling, I must admit, and they must have recommended me to somebody, and I got one match in Hong Kong. It was only a 3-day match, which we won. I must admit, I wasn't very good with a bat. I think that's what let me down more than anything. I wasn't bad bowling, but I wasn't a very good batsman. So I played there. I only played the once. and then in Chatham, played football there for the Royal Marines there. And as I say, I played cricket for the Navy once there, and that was about it. And then the morning I was coming home for good, the mob, the OC sent for me, and he said, "You wouldn't consider signing on again?" I said, "No." He said, "Even if I said to you, if you sign on now, I'll send you to the junior NCO school tomorrow." I said, "No, I'm going home." And that was the end of my...
And that was October 55?
Yeah. But you know...
Now, what were you going to do? Because we get you back into post-service.
Do you know what? Do you know what I've missed? The coronation. That was in between the Belfast and the Warrior. Does it matter?
Not really. I mean, what about the coronation?
Well, it was when I finished on the Belfast. I missed this out before. When we came back into barracks, that's why I was a long time in Eastney Barracks, if you remember, in between. I got picked for the Royal Guard at the Queen's coronation, along with 199 others. And we started with 200, and they wanted a guard of 90. Anyway, over the weeks, it was whittled down to 90, and I was one of the 90, to perform a guard for the Queen outside Westminster Abbey for a coronation. So we did the normal thing, the training, the drill, everything. We all had to buy new uniforms. We had to buy our own new uniforms. The lot. And from what I can remember, the day of the coronation, we were all based in the Union Jack Club in London. Then the Royal Guard had to form up in Wellington Barracks, which is just round the corner from Buckingham Palace. There was the Royal Marine Guard of 90, Scots Guards, 90 of them, and 90 RAF regiments, and 200 Royal Marine bandsmen. We had the mass bands of the Royal Marines, and we marched from Wellington Barracks to Westminster Abbey with the mass bands of the Royal Marines in front, and obviously we led the parade. And I'm sit here now and say that I was one of the proudest men ever that day. To be behind a band of 200 Royal Marine bandsmen, you've never lived till you've done it. It was absolutely superb. And I'll never forget it for as long as I live that day.
Any other memories of the day? Things that happened?
Yeah, we fell in, and when we marched round to Westminster Abbey, it was belching down with rain, and we halted outside the Abbey, and I was almost adjacent to the front door as the coach come round, could see her get out. But my only disappointment was, all the cameras were behind us. They never had a camera in front of us. I thought they would have had...
I'm going to walk round.
No. It was raining, as I say, and when she got, I thought they would have had a camera in front of us so they could have seen our faces as well as what was going on that way, but they didn't. So the only thing my wife saw of me on the television was the back of my head. But anyway, once she went in the Abbey, they fell us out, and we went round the corner, and it was like a naffy wagon there, and we had a mug of tea and a big thick cheese sandwich, and that was it. And that was from our breakfast till we got back to the Union Jack Club after it was all over. We got back to the Union Jack Club, well, it must have been around about 3 o'clock, something like that. And they give us a bottle of beer in there for nothing. So that was that then, finish.